Joe, there's always optimism on the eve of a training camp. What gives you the most confidence this team's going to be able to make a bigger step this year?
Well, I think it's the effort, the quality of the coaching staff, the caliber of some of the people we added. I think you saw it in the mini camps. I mean, there's a real pace and energy, you know, work ethic that I think makes a difference. I think what the coaches have kind of instilled at this point, some of that's cultural, some of it's scheme. I think those are the things that will help us step forward.
Do you know more about Brandon Weeden than you did when we talked to you at the Combine in February?
I don't know in terms of any final answers, but we're excited by the fact that he's come in. I think Chud has spoken about this extensively. He's worked real hard. He's done everything they've asked him to do. He's gotten obviously a lot more work in the spring here and gotten a chance to progress on the mental aspect of the position. So I think everybody's encouraged by, you know, how hard he's working, how bad it seems he wants to do well.
What do you have the expectations, you personally, for this season? Do you have one, in whether it's win total or statistically, offensively, defensively?
No, my focus is really on wanting to see the shift in the culture that we've talked about, the effort. Wanting to see the schemes that the coaches are putting in start to take hold and the players get better as the season goes at what we're doing. Seeing the young players develop that we're talking about and hoping are what we all think they could be. That's really my focus, wanting to see the work ethic and the pace that you saw in the spring stay through the whole season. So I think if we see those things, we'll feel good that we're on the right track.
So when you planned out ahead, you know, a timeline to this point, first training camp, do you think things have progressed the way you wanted them to be? Are you ahead, behind? Is it about what you thought it would be at this point?
Yeah, I'd say it's about where we thought it would be. You know, it's I'm comforted. I think it's been overlooked a little that, you know, we had two free agents that a lot of teams in the league were interested in. The fact that they chose to come here, I think, is an important message to our team. It's an important message around the league. I think the fact that we signed John Greco yesterday, you don't sign players early unless they're optimistic about where they are and it's a place they want to be. And I think that was bigger than the fact that he's from here, although that helped. So I think those things kind of feed on themselves. And if you want to be a winning organization, you want to be a place that players are choosing to come to. It means they feel good about the people that they're going to coach them, feels they're optimistic about winning. Obviously, there's an economic component as well, but those other factors are in there when you're competing for these type of players and getting them. So I think that's a really good sign about how the league is kind of adjusting their thinking about what it would be to come and play here, a coach here, and those kinds of things, which I think will help us a lot in the long run.
Joe, some of the legal deals that Jimmy's going through right now, how has that affected the front office in terms of going about daily business?
It really hasn't affected us at all. I mean, we have a team that we've put together here of really, really good people, whether we're talking the coaching staff, the business side, even our foundation work. We're really excited about the team we've put together. Jimmy really had a vision. I think he spoke the first time he was here about what his priorities were around creating a phenomenal fan experience and being focused on winning as many games as we can. He hired me. We've put together a team to kind of, on a day-to-day basis, implement that. So we're free and clear to do all of that. Nothing that's happened has had any impact on our ability to do that, or frankly given us any reason not to be successful at doing it.
Joe, is there anything you can tell us along those lines, though, to alleviate fans' concerns that there might be some kind of an interruption depending on how Jimmy's legal situation shakes out?
I don't know what we could say beyond what we've said, and I understand why that doesn't give everybody total peace of mind, believe me, but I don't know what we could say more than, you know, we're operating the team exactly as we would whether this had happened or not. Jimmy's here and incredibly supportive and a huge asset to us. And I think he's made it clear, and I've tried to make it clear without any ambiguity at all, he's not going to sell the team. But I understand why, until that actually happens and this thing plays itself out, it's a legitimate question for people to continue to ask.
Has he had to talk to you about this to, like, reassure you that, hey, everything I'm saying publicly is a fact?
I wouldn't use those words, but yes, we've certainly talked about it privately, and he's been extremely open with me and felt it was appropriate that I know what was going on and understand what was going on and reinforced, in fact, the very same messages that he said publicly. So we've certainly discussed it, but, you know, I know him. I have a lot of confidence in him. I wouldn't say I needed to be reassured.
Do you feel there's any sense of uncertainty in the building about how the whole situation is going to play out?
I think when they first started, people had questions about it, but I think fairly quickly they got answers. They felt comfortable. They know me. They know Jimmy. I think they trust what we've told them, and then we were right back focused on exactly what we're doing.
What was your reaction, though, Joe, when Pat Fly and Jay got rated?
Well, it was a surprise. I mean, obviously, wasn't anything that anybody was anticipating, so I was surprised. But as I said, I've had a chance to get to know Jimmy. We talked about how we were going to run the Browns. A focus of his was doing things the right way, doing things with integrity from the first moments I met him. So it certainly wasn't anything I anticipated, but I felt comfortable with his responses. And as I say, we've been free to operate the Browns exactly the same way we would have, whether this had happened or not.
Joe, do you think the league is satisfied that everything is operating as it should?
Yeah, I think the league feels really good about the way things are going, but they have a wait-and-see attitude as well. And, you know, they have a, you know, we'll see what happens and then we'll go from there. But I think they feel very good about Jimmy. They have a lot of belief in him. He's been very open and transparent with them. And I think they feel confident in the way they see him leading and the team that we've all put together to operate things.
Has Jimmy put any more responsibility on you just because of what he's had to deal with lately?
No, as I say, I mean, the plan was for him to create this vision, to be involved in it, but to trust myself and the team we were going to put together to kind of implement it on a day-to-day basis. So we've continued to do that, and, you know, I hope well. As I say, I don't think we're doing anything differently here than we would have been doing if this had never happened.
Joe, you've often talked about quarterbacks as assets. You have three on the roster right now that either have starting ability or starting potential. Do you fully anticipate that all three of those guys will be on your roster at the beginning of the season, or can anything happen?
Yeah, again, in terms of evaluating them and how they're going to be used and stuff like that, I want to leave that stuff to Chud. Mm-hmm. In terms of the roster, you know, we'll see what happens, and you're always looking for any chance to upgrade any position on the team. So we'll keep our eyes open, but I think we feel pretty good about those three guys. So I think the most likely outcome is that they'd be here, but we're always going to keep our eyes open for any chance we see to upgrade the roster.
Joe, back to Jimmy real quick. He came in here and said he wanted to be a really hands-on owner, and I know you spoke to, you know, his plan for involvement, but has he had to scale back at all because of everything that's unfolded?
I would just tell you, the vision that he told me he had of how he wanted to be an owner, which included him talking about some of the other owners in the league that he respected and thought he wanted to operate in a similar manner to, is exactly the way things have gone. So whatever terms may have been used in terms of being hands-on, how he defined that to me and how we've operated are totally in sync.
Is there any scenario in which you could see him putting the team up for sale? Or
no, there isn't. I mean, I don't see that scenario, but, you know.
Obviously, you're around him more than, you know, but when we saw him in the spring, he looked really thin. I mean, can you tell this is how tough this is for him?
Well, I mean, I think it's a challenging situation you want to go through, but I haven't experienced that. I mean, he's high energy. He's as intense. He's got as many questions as he usually does about, you know, what we're doing and why we're doing and how we could do it better. The things we've needed him to do with questions or sponsors or relationships or people we were trying to recruit to come here that we wanted him to reach out to, he's done and done well. So my experience is the same, high energy, intense. He's either in or he's not, and he's in. So I'm still experiencing him that same way.
You said in the past that you thought him coming here would be a kind of a tone changer, you know, and that people around the league would view the team differently.
Yep.
Do you think that's been spoiled at all by any of this?
Well, I think it's not as pure as it was, but I don't think it's spoiled. And I think the evidence is the quality of the organization we put together, the ability to recruit some of these free agents we did, start to re-sign some of our own players. I think there's a lot of evidence that things are going just as we would have hoped they'd be going at this point.
In those relationships where you say you talk to potential sponsors or things of that nature, has there been any hesitation on any of their parts because of the investigation?
I mean, not that they've expressed, and I don't mean this to say the wrong way, but I mean, you know, we've sold more season tickets than the Browns have sold since at least the return here, you know, this offseason, more suites, more club seats. More new marketing partnerships. So there's a lot of optimism and positive feeling about where the franchise is heading. And I think it started with him, you know, taking over, leading the team and the vision he had, and then the team we've put together to run it.
Do you think part of that was about the season tickets? Do you think that's part of it with your guys' decision to kind of do away with the PSLs, that give other people a chance to jump in on something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of things. I mean, we did that because we viewed that as something that was very fan-friendly. I know some people misinterpreted, didn't get that, but it is actually a very fan-friendly decision. So it did open the door for some people. But I also think there's a lot of energy, even increased energy and optimism about where we're, what things we're doing now and where the franchise is headed. And I think that's the main reason you see that happening.
What's the back in 99, we were told season tickets were total sellout. What's the season ticket base up to now?
I couldn't give you the exact number. I'm not sure I would if I knew the exact number, but it's.
We were told there was a waiting list. Back.
Yeah, well, I hope we can get to waiting list. We're not at waiting list right now, but we're working hard. We've made a lot of. I think the number I can give you is I think we're at 94% renewal rate. So season ticket holders last year that came back, which is extraordinarily high number, you know, historically here. When I say that, you know, a few percentage points actually makes a big difference. So that's very exciting. And then, as I say, you know, we only have the records back to 1999, and we've sold more new season tickets than has been sold in any year since 1999. So, you know, for us, those are little tips of the iceberg about people starting to, you know, feel optimistic and encouraged, you know, by what they're seeing and wanting to be even more of a part of it than they've been.
Joe, what did you tell people that I know who had season tickets and who had to pay for PSLs were upset about the decision that you guys made? So what did, and I'm sure you got a lot of calls or heard about this. So what did you tell those people?
I mean, first of all, you know, we got some calls, so I just want to keep it proportionate. Most people kind of understood it and realized it was actually a good thing for them. I don't know of any stadiums where there isn't a cap on the number of PSLs in the stadium. I built one in Philadelphia with 29,000 seat licenses, and all the other seats didn't have seat licenses. And it's good for the fans to have a limited number of seat licenses if part of their interest is seeing that value of that either stabilize or increase. Because as long as there's an unlimited amount of quantity available, then there's no chance of the price kind of stabilizing and escalating. So there's no other consequence. They retained all the benefits that they had and all the advantages they had for having a seat license. Plus, they now had an opportunity, at least, an opportunity, no promise, that by stabilizing the quantity of seat licenses, the value of the seat license at least has a chance to, you know, in a supply and demand economy. So once the supply gets set, there's a chance that demand can increase and the price will increase. As long as the supply has an infinite potential, then the demand is never going to catch up to the supply, and they really have no chance of doing well with it.
Do you know if many people, season ticket holders, the PSL holders, took advantage of that offer that you guys would give them more seats, or they could buy more seats but have the PSL rights without having to buy a PSL?
Yeah, I don't know the number. But we consider it a consequential. I can tell you when I say that it's hundreds as opposed to like thousands of thousands, although some of them bought a significant number of seats. But yes, we did have some people take advantage of that.
Joe, you guys are obviously still in the planning stages of a pretty significant investment in the stadium. What, though, can fans expect to be different for them this season right now before you guys really begin the major part of the project?
Okay, so we're going to roll that out and real detail here fairly soon, and Alex is going to kind of get a chance soon to sit with you and go through that. But I'll just kind of give you, you know, headline is of a range of. I mean, we think there were some real basic things just around things like cleanliness, for example. So, you know, things like, you know, the bathrooms are repainted and they're repainted in Browns colors, so they feel clean. The size of the trash cans and the concourses and the frequency that they're going to get picked up with is going to be dramatically changed. So just some subtle basic things. I think there's also some areas around egress and things like that that people have struggled with that I think we won't be able to completely solve this year, but we're going to try to mitigate their experiences, their experience. So there's a range of things like that. And Alec will get together with you soon, walk you through the whole list, some specifics and pictures and all that kind of stuff. But it's those kind of items that we're able to do now. Looking long-term to do something bigger than that, though.
Joe, you've hired an architect and a contractor, so
yep.
What's the timeline on enhancements?
I mean, we will, presuming we do the project, which is extremely likely but not absolutely definite, we will start construction this January. And I think it will be another month to two, could be as much as three, but my best guess is a month to 2 months before we have a full idea exactly what the scope of it will be and what elements will be included. We're getting closer on that. We're working on it almost every day. But I'd say another month to 2 months before we really have a full sense of the scope of things included, the price, what things will probably happen over two off seasons. So exactly what elements will be in this off season versus the next off season. And again, you know, we're looking forward to sharing that with everybody and hoping everybody else is excited about it. So as soon as we're at the point we actually have a project, we know about what it's going to cost, we know what the elements will be, we'll get back together with you guys again, share that information, provide pictures and graphics, hopefully get everybody excited about it. So my sense is that will probably be somewhere, at best, maybe around the beginning of the season.
Just one more on improvements. Will our cell phones work?
Your cell phones will work.
Well, and what did you guys do to make that happen?
We installed, and again, Alec can expand on this and will be more technically knowledgeable than I am. We expanded the DAS system, which is really what controls cell service and to some extent things like iPad service. So you will have complete cell service and you'll have partial use of some of the other iPad and things like that. But I don't want to steal his thunder, and he can go in through a lot more specifics and also explain what I just said means.
Joe, we haven't really, I don't think, talked to you since Josh Gordon got suspended. He said here the other day that he thought that that you know, the front office people were in his corner and supporting him. What do you need to see from Josh, and you know, what are your thoughts on him in the aftermath of this?
Well, I mean, I think it's he's spent a fair amount of time talking with Chud, and he's got to do some work, and he understands he's going to be held accountable, and he gets, you know, the rope that's left isn't long. And I think, you know, when working with the coaches, they just need to see that commitment, that work ethic. And then obviously off the field, he has to make good choices.
Joe, it seems like there's some unknown commodities on offense, maybe. You know, Brandon entered second year, yep. Josh, some of the younger guys, Jordan Cameron. Was it difficult to go into the season with those unanswered questions instead of addressing all of them? And, you know, how do you go into this?
Yeah. I mean, this is actually the hardest part of where we're at, because whether it's Jimmy or Chud or myself, or, you know, we're really impatient and we're really competitive. So to have the discipline to do this the way we think you got to do it if you're going to sustain success is really, really hard right now. So we're trying to stay very disciplined about taking, you know, steps forward as opposed to fooling ourselves into trying to do everything at once, frankly signing too many free agents that are hard to integrate, you know, track record on free agents in terms of the success rate is not as high as you'd like, so you got to be really selective and careful. So it is. I mean, I can't wait till we get to the point where we go into a season feeling like we've at least got solid players at every position and hopefully some really dynamic difference makers at some position. So it takes a lot of discipline, but having studied the teams that have done this well, having been part of a turnaround in Philadelphia, it's really clear that the teams that have done this and sustained the success have, you know, taken an approach where, you know, for the first year or two, they go into it knowing that there are still some things left to do in terms of the roster, but we've been willing to build it that way on the way in, so once they get there, they can keep it there.
With that discipline, is there a sense of optimism that maybe some of these guys will be better than you think, or better than
you think? The best outcome will be, and even if this happens, we'll still have some additional needs to fill, but the best outcome will be as many as possible of these younger players to turn out to be as good as we hope they can be, and there's a lot that have a chance to be very good, so there's potentially a lot of upside on the roster just in players developing.
Joe, stability here has been a problem since 99. No program that has been brought in here has worked or been given a legitimate opportunity to work. So from your standpoint, being fairly new and things of that nature, how do you instill that stability and not looking over your shoulder culture and things of that nature, and especially considering what is still going on with Jimmy?
Yeah. I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but I think the key to the answer is the people leading the organization really have to sell that message and vision and just sell it hard enough that people believe us. I mean, I come from having a track record of, you know, worked with Andy Reid for 14 years. That's about as long as partnership as there is in the league. You know, had Howie Roseman, who's the general manager, they now 14 years, and Don Smolinski, who became the president when I left, was there 14 years. You know, our directors of revenue were there 7 or 8 years. You know, one of them, Len Komborowski, came here and became president of the Cavaliers. So, you know, I think the fact that they've seen that, you know, my belief in, it may be kind of cliche-ish, is You don't want to have continuity until you've got the right people in place, because that's the fastest way to really have failure. But once you have the right people in place, continuity is the most important and valuable thing that you can do. So we just have to sell that vision. We got to get them to buy it and trust it. I think we're in very good shape with that. I think starting to re-sign some of our own players, the kind of people that we've brought in here, I think helps with all that. But some of it is just they're going to have to see it in action before they're going to completely trust it.
Can you envision yourself 14 years from now?
Going to be an old man.
Go ahead.
Joe, have you considered putting field turf in the stadium?
You know, we talked about it a little bit. I think most everybody here is kind of a little bit old-fashioned and believing that, you know, we can make it work on grass in terms of the quality of it in spite of some of the challenging, you know, weather and late-season stuff. Maybe we've got to replace it a little more frequently during the season. But, you know, our strong inclination is to play football, frankly, outdoors on a grass field. And, you know, it's something we have talked about and we'll continue to review, so that could change. But I think we have a strong inclination to do it that way.
Where does the negotiation with Alex Mack on an extension stand?
Yeah, I'm going to stay out of who we're talking to and where things stand until hopefully at various points we can make some announcements.
Well, we have time for a couple more questions.
Have you learned some things about Chud that, I mean, obviously, that just have you, what have you seen from him that kind of convinces you that, you know, he's the right guy?
I think it's more been confirmation of what we thought we knew. I mean, his work ethic, his passion, his ability to put this staff together and work really well with them in a very constructive, collaborative, his approach to the draft, his ability to kind of both evaluate players but also help educate us on what he was looking for, what he needed, what kind of qualities, staying disciplined about things we all believe in terms of the types of players and that we're all looking for. I think you see it in practice, kind of that pace, that energy. So I think it's been confirmation of the things we thought we knew in researching him, that he said when we interviewed him, that you're actually seeing in action, you're not seeing any deviations from, you know, what was said versus how things are being done, and that's comforting.
Is there a message that you sent to the team with John Greco being the first player that was here when you got here that got the extension?
Not to about John specifically, but the message which we've been saying is that really over time the way to build the team is to develop players, usually draft picks, although it can be a player you picked up like John or even an undrafted free agent. Make those the core of your team and invest your money in re-signing those players. And yes, hopefully there was a message that people hear and will continue to do things that reinforces that and get people to trust that that's how we're going to operate the team.